Well, good morning. It is so good to be here. Good to worship with you. Before we jump into the devotional and hearing testimonies, I wanted to take a moment to invite you to our all-church retreat this summer. It begins on Thursday evening, July 23rd, goes through Sunday morning, the 26th. We're back at Biola, which is a lot closer. I think there's a lot less chances of flooding, like we had a couple retreats ago. So that's exciting. Looking forward to enjoying the amenities of the university there. If you're new, historically, we've had our all-church retreat every other summer, and it's been a very special time of growing deeper in our faith and growing deeper in our fellowship with one another. I think the time just to slow down over the course of a few days, to eat meals together, to do activities, to sit under the teaching of God's word as a church family, it's been such a grace. My own family, it's been such a blessing for us. Our kids, it's been a highlight for them. They've really loved it. Now, as we've grown as a church in recent years, as you can imagine, it's been a point of discussion. And so every time we think about it, it's like, okay, should we do it again? Can we do it again? And to this point, every time we've decided it's worth the time and the energy and the cost that we put into this because it's been so significant to the life of our church. This year, we're excited because Pastor Brad Bigney is coming and he's going to speak on the topic of hope. I'm personally excited about this because I think this is literally the fifth time I asked him. So for, that many times we asked him, he finally said yes. I felt like the persistent widow. Okay, so just knocking until he was, all right, whatever, let's just do this. I don't even want to come, but I'm going to go. But Pastor Brad is the lead pastor at Grace Fellowship Church in Kentucky. He's also a biblical counselor, and he's the author of Gospel Treason, Betraying the Gospel with Hidden Idols. It's such a good book. It's both very biblical and very personal. He kind of shares what all that meant to his life, and especially to his marriage early on. Along with that, he's just a really gifted preacher. When I first heard him, I had no idea who he was, and they're just kind of blown away, so encouraged. Not every biblical counselor can preach, but he really can. But beyond gifting, I think what you're going to hear is just a passion for people to know Christ. He has such a heart for that. So again, I'm excited to have him with us. I trust you'll be blessed. Now, for you to get to know him a bit better, we asked him to send a video sharing a bit about himself and what he'll be speaking on. And so we'll take a moment and watch that.
Oh, I'm looking forward to being with you at your all-church retreat in July, because I've heard great things about you guys for years now, but it just never worked with my schedule, so that this year, I literally rearranged my preaching schedule to say yes. And we're going to focus our thoughts around finding hope in a broken world. And to do that, we're going to dig into two of my very favorite Psalms of Lamentation, Psalm 88 and Psalm 73. We're going to touch on some of the challenges of parenting today that has only gotten harder. And my sweet wife is going to join me in walking you through our personal testimony of how we've experienced God's faithfulness through every season of suffering. And some of our suffering has included intense marital trials, challenges of parenting prodigals, as well as life-altering health crises. But in every season, God was faithful and gave us hope. And when I use that word hope, I'm not using it like the world uses it. Well, I hope so. I believe biblical hope is a confident expectation of future blessing, and it's based on something, based on the character and promises of God. We're going to dig into His Word and lay hold of some of the character and promises of God so that we can persevere in a day like this. Oh, I hope you'll make time to join me. I'm looking forward to being with you.
So again, let me encourage you to come. You can sign up online. It's helpful for the team, obviously, if you can sign up as soon as possible so they can continue to get ready. Early registration ends in a couple of weeks. There is financial help available, so we really don't want money to be a hindrance. We want everyone to be able to come. And there's a lot of information on our website under events. So if you have questions, you can go there first and then reach out to the office if you have more questions. With that, let me pray for us and then we'll jump into our devotional. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy. We thank you for sustaining us these past 23 years. It really is a testimony to your goodness and to your greatness. And so, Lord, I pray that this morning would be about you. As much as we, in a sense, celebrate, we're not celebrating ourselves, but we're celebrating our Savior. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. We ask that we be humble before your word now. Help us to be a people who tell stories of your greatness and are moved to worship because of your greatness. We thank you, we love you, we praise you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as was mentioned, we celebrate our 23rd anniversary as a church this morning. And so as is tradition, in a few minutes, we will give some people the opportunities to share testimonies of the grace and the greatness of God in their lives. But before we do that, I wanted to take a moment and just consider God's word and see why biblically these testimonies are actually really important. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Psalm chapter 145. Anniversaries have been a special day in the life of the church. When we started Lighthouse, we decided to celebrate our first anniversary because we were just thankful to survive the first year. And we really wanted to give glory for that. I think there was a real sense of gratitude. I mean, when you start with a small group of people, a fairly inexperienced set of leaders and limited resources, you aren't trying to change the world. Like, you really are pretty happy that you existed for a year. I've shared this before, but part of my testimony is that I didn't want to church plant because I was so afraid of failure. But God did this work in my heart, so that I was, in a sense, willing to fail for him. But I would actually tell people who were going on the church plant that. I would say, hey, God's been changing me, so I think we need to go and go be willing to fail for God, which is like the worst rallying point for a ministry or for anything in life. Let's go fail. But for whatever reason, people came, honestly, some of them reluctantly. In fact, I remember the first anniversaries, the first testimonies, a lot of them were a version of this. I didn't want to leave Evergreen, but God called me to this church plant, so I had to come. And that was like it. That was like not the most inspiring sharings, but they were honest. They did glorify God. But since then, celebrating our anniversary and hearing testimonies has become a tradition. Now, on one hand, it's because we want to remind ourselves that our existence is by the grace of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, God tells Israel through Moses that when they finally entered the promised land, that the peril of prosperity is that they would actually be tempted to forget God, right? And it sounds absurd, but he's warning them not to kind of settle into their blessings and then forget the one who blessed them. But actually, I think we need to guard against that danger as well. God has been kind to us. And none of us who were there in the early years imagined Lighthouse would be what it is today. For reasons known only to God, he has chosen to bless this church, to grow this church, despite the many weaknesses I have and others have. Unfortunately, because of the growth, I think most of us aren't concerned if we're going to exist from year to year. It's easy to take what we have for granted. Like, did any of you pray this week, Lord, help us to survive? You know, help us to have church on Sunday. Let's be honest, I think all of us, myself included, we kind of assume things are going to go as planned. But brothers and sisters, this church, like this service, this moment right now is by the grace of God. And we need to remind ourselves of that. And so our anniversary reminds us that this last year was not a product of good decisions, enough offering, critical mass, good leaders. It was a product of grace. God has just been abundantly kind to us. And we want to take a moment, a morning, just to pause and to recognize that. But we celebrate our anniversaries and we share testimonies, not just as a reminder of his faithfulness, but because biblically, hearing and sharing testimonies is meant to deepen our love for God. It's about our hearts, it's about our faith, it's about our worship. In other words, sharing and hearing testimonies isn't just nice for a celebration, but it's necessary for our walks. Let me read to you from Psalm 145. This is David's last psalm in the Psalter, and the focus appropriately is praise. He's kind of that's the focus of the last six psalms. Let me start in verse 3. David writes, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." So David describes what should be the conviction and the joy of each of our hearts. It's this deep belief that our God is great. In fact, his greatness, as he writes, is unsearchable, meaning that it's beyond what we can fathom. We can search and we can search and we aren't going to reach the end of his greatness. What then is the natural and really necessary response to that reality? We praise God. he says. He is greatly to be praised. I mean, if our God is so great that his greatness surpasses our understanding, then we really should praise him. Now again, this should be us. We should be living our lives out of a deep faith in the greatness of God and a deep worship because of the greatness of God. And so as you navigate relationships, as you persevere through suffering, as you establish your priorities, as you raise your children, as you steward your resources, at the heart of all of it is this faith-filled recognition of the greatness of God. That's the anchor that we hold on to. That's the reality that makes sense of our whole world. That's the truth that gives us hope. Our God is an unfathomably great God. And really, our struggles in this life are so often the struggles to understand, remember, and acknowledge that greatness. I mean, if we try to do life without that truth in place, then we lose meaning and hope. And so this is part of the challenge and the purpose of the Christian life, to believe in the greatness of Christ, to hold on to that truth, to live by that truth, to make known that truth. And so consider your life, maybe more specifically, consider the challenges of your life. Trials, making a hard decision, worry, addiction, discontentment, fear. Every one of them is made harder by a small view of God. And conversely, every one of them would be significantly helped by a deeper conviction as to the greatness of God. So what should we do? Like, how do we grow in this? Listen to verses 3 and 4. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. So notice that. We need to hear of the greatness of God from one another. Like, knowing and celebrating his greatness is not just an individual endeavor. It happens in community. And so we see the picture in this psalm of one generation sharing with another, likely the older to the younger. But if you actually read the whole psalm, you'll see the idea of just telling one another of the greatness of God. But importantly, it's not just like a vague character trait, like our God is so great, so strong and so mighty. I mean, imagine like trying to tell someone who's struggling, hey, don't forget God is great. Like that's so true. But notice what our passage says. It says, declare his mighty acts. In other words, tell specific things that God has done. Yeah, so we're to give testimonies to one another of God's work in our lives. And I think this makes sense. I mean, we have this God who is constantly working for us and in us and through us. He's loving us. He's showing us grace. He's providentially orchestrating life, even the hard parts, for our good. Meaning that if we don't give testimony about the works of God, we fail to give God glory for so much of what he's doing in our lives. So get that. We need to share testimonies with one another. Why? What does it lead to? Look at verse 5. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. I will meditate. As people give testimonies and commend God's amazing works, it encourages us to meditate on our amazing God. And again, haven't you experienced this? Maybe someone told you like about God's grace in their lives, and it just moves you to be amazed and to be thankful. I mean, even just this week, right, people shared with me what Christ was doing in their lives, and I was so encouraged. Maybe it was just providence. Maybe it was his grace overcoming sin. Maybe it was truth that encouraged their hearts. And that encourages me. That encourages me to greater faith and to greater worship, and that encourages me to tell others about the greatness of God. So you kind of see the flow of thought of this psalm. You tell me of the greatness of God, and that encourages me to meditate on the greatness of God and to believe in the greatness of God. And what I do, I tell others about the greatness of God. And that's what David then describes pretty succinctly in verse 6. He says, they shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. So they give testimony, your awesome deeds, and the response is, I'm going to then tell other people about the greatness of God. And that really should be the rhythm of a Christian's life. You hear about his greatness, you think and meditate on his greatness, and then you share about his greatness. And then others here, you share about his greatness, and they think about his greatness, and they tell others about his greatness, and that's a beautiful Christ-exalting community. And here's the point. We need times like this to hear real stories about the greatness of God so that we meditate on the greatness of God. And then we're moved to worship and to share about the greatness of God. And so again, a morning like this isn't just nice. It's really necessary. As the psalm says, we need to commend his works to one another. We need to declare his mighty acts to one another. We need to share his awesome deeds to one another. We need to do that for God's glory, but also for our good. What does that all mean practically? A couple of things. First, for this morning, as you listen to the testimonies, let it encourage your worship. Like, you're going to get a front row seat to grace. And as we said over and over, we don't want you leaving today saying, what great worship, or what a great devotional, or what great testimonies. We want you leaving saying, what a great God. And so hear of his greatness. Meditate on that greatness so ultimately you can declare that greatness. But second, and this is something I was thinking about this week, is I would just say, let's make it our goal to be better about hearing and sharing about God's greatness in our lives. Like, in other words, make that a greater part of your spiritual rhythms, just to hear it and to share of it. So maybe just ask people more often, like, how have you seen God be kind to you this week? Like, how have you seen his greatness? And then share with people how you've seen that true in your own life. You could start at lunch today. Share one way God has been kind to you this week, or families do this together, maybe over a meal or in family worship. Discuss ways that God has been good and great. In fact, parents, I'm guessing there are things that your kids don't realize. Like, they're in their own world, right? But ways that God has been faithful, ways that he's answered prayers, ways that he has shown love and kindness. Tell your kids about that. One generation to another, encourage them to marvel at the greatness of God. And so again, I'm thankful for this morning, not simply because you need to hear about the greatness of God, but because I do. I don't ever want God's greatness to be a hypothetical in my life, like a theory, even if a true one. I need it to be real. I need others to declare to me his mighty acts and his awesome deeds. And so I'm thankful that brothers and sisters will be doing that for us this morning. And so let's take a moment and pray, and then we'll get to hear our testimonies. Dearly Father, we want to be a people who are about your greatness, who think about it, who share about it, who hear it. And so, Lord, this morning, as we hear these testimonies, we're so thankful for these men and women willing to love us by standing in front of this big group and just telling a story of their lives, but ultimately telling the story of your grace in their lives. And so, Lord, help us to hear it and again to come to the conclusion that we have a great, great God. So we thank you, Lord. We love you. We praise you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we get to hear three testimonies. First is Mark and Angelica DeBacco. They will be followed by a video testimony from Azzy Antonio. And lastly will be Pastor Allen and his wife, Barry Sy. So if you'll join me in welcoming Mark and Angelica.
Hello, church. We're the DeBaccos, Mark and Angelica, and I'm sure many of you have seen us here at church. We've been actively seeking to grow our faith and trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for many years. A short time ago, Kim asked if we'd be willing to share how God has been faithful toward us during our time at Lighthouse, and we agreed right away to pray about it. Speaking in front of a large gathering is not typically our default setting to communicate our thoughts about faithfulness. Yet God has been very faithful through our time here at Lighthouse, and we will be sharing on two of the ways that he has been faithful to us.
The first is the family of Christ, the community he has provided here at Lighthouse. We had been attending our home church for over 25 years. It was where our children grew up and found Jesus Christ. It is where we had our church family that came beside us and helped raise our children with the knowledge of what it meant to follow Christ. We were not looking for a new church, but God had other plans.
Two of our now adult children were looking for community and weren't able to find it at our church. This is where David Lee comes into the picture. He told us of this young adult group Praxis that met at Lighthouse every Thursday, invited us to a Sunday service. At service, David introduced Will and Jennifer to Brian Chang, who got both of their emails and said goodbye with, "See you on Thursday." It was such a blessing to see them both find community at Praxis. God was moving in a powerful way. For the next 3 months, we found ourselves attending services on Saturday at our home church and then Sunday mornings here at Lighthouse.
The welcoming atmosphere, the biblical teaching, the love of God was very clear. So after 3 months of our children said to us that Lighthouse was going to be their church. So we looked at each other and said, well, we've always done church as a family, so Lighthouse will be our church too. It was hard to leave our church where we were well established at and start over at Lighthouse. The kids had plugged in well, but Mark and I not so much. We found that Mark knew plenty of people from doing work for them at one time or another. And God reminded me it wasn't about me, but about him.
So we decided to sign up for a membership class to learn more about Lighthouse. During the classes, we learned that it would be a two-way commitment between ourselves and the leadership of the elders, that as a member, we would be a vital part of God's church through Lighthouse. This commitment would include serving our church family. We were encouraged by the truth that it all came back to Jesus as our foundation and center. Ephesians 2:19 through 21 tells us, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord." And 1 Peter 4:10 says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace."
We felt God confirming that this would be our church, and we became members. We were being fed regularly with biblical and timely preaching, and we immediately started looking for ways to serve. Even though I still had not found my community, Lighthouse was just starting to feel like it was our home church. Unfortunately, that was also when COVID closed in-person church. Once again, I felt a little lost, and once again, God reminded me it wasn't about me, but about him. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me," which always brings to mind the truth of 2 Corinthians 10:17. "Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." When church reopened, we had the privilege of starting to serve together as a family. Over time, we found our community at Lighthouse. God graciously grew our family through our beautiful new daughter, grandson, soon a granddaughter, and the unexpected joy of a son of our hearts.
Through small groups and serving, God provided us with our Lighthouse church family. Now, not just people who say hello to, but people who know us and care, who will take time to listen and pray for us. The Lighthouse church family embodied for us the principle we see in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
Mark's prostate cancer diagnosis 3 years ago was another turning point for our family. We could feel the prayers from our Lighthouse family and how God was working in our lives. Even the events, excuse me. Even the events that led to the discovery of his cancer was a miracle. It originally started with Mark's bad back. His blood screening and preparation for a possible back surgery led to the discovery of his prostate cancer. While managing his prostate cancer, he had a PET scan, which then led to the discovery of his throat cancer last August. Throughout all of the medical worries, Lighthouse prayed for Mark, myself, and our children for healing, for strength, for clarity, and for guidance on how to proceed with treatment. Not only did they pray for us, they also fed us, hugged us when we cried, and came alongside us through treatment.
God answered prayers when we were trying to decide which cancer team we were going to go with. Both teams were exceptional. God shut the door on one team, clearly directing us to the team we used. Never mind how quickly all this happened. I was diagnosed with throat cancer in August last year, had surgery in October, and finished chemo and radiation on December 18th.
Praise be to God, Mark is now officially in remission from the throat cancer, and we are currently monitoring the prostate cancer.
We can't predict the future, and we often face many challenges. We can only ever control our response to situations we find ourselves in, especially when they are completely out of our control. We have learned that as we trust a God whose love, care, and faithfulness is never failing, we can live into a story that is far better than we ever could have imagined. God is good all the time.
Good morning and happy anniversary, Lighthouse. My name is Azzy. I'm a college student studying woodworking at Cal State Long Beach, and I'm a part of the Praxis Young Adult Ministry here. Thank you for letting me share a testimony of God's faithfulness. Paul writes this about the Philippian church in Philippians 1, 3-7. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. One commentator says this about that passage. When Paul remembered what all the Philippians did for him, he was extremely thankful. He was naturally grateful to the Philippians, but more so to God, who had worked such kindness through the Philippians. I feel that way about the family here at Lighthouse. Thank you all, and even more so to God, who has shown me such kindness through you. And I want to share how I've seen God's faithfulness in my life, even during one of the hardest seasons of my life. My dad passed away suddenly last April. The reason I couldn't be here with you all in person is because it will be 1 year since we lost him. I'm back home to spend time with family. Right before his death, he had been recovering from a stroke earlier that January, which made the news at the time so unexpected. While I never doubted that God's plan was good, I was overwhelmed. My family and I experienced overwhelming support from this church. You didn't even know them personally, yet you loved us so well. Through meals, flowers, prayers, texts, and constant encouragement. You made the love of Jesus tangible to us, and it didn't just impact me, but also my mom and my sister, who are strengthened in faith through this trial. But it wasn't just the grief of losing my dad. I was also wrestling with a sense of guilt over how distant we'd gone before he'd passed. When I look back at the text I sent my dad, I realize just how much I fell short as a loving son. And still to this day, it breaks my heart to see the times he'd reach out asking when I'd come back home, telling me that he missed me, but also seeing my reluctance to respond, my dismissal or lack of effort. At the time, I excused it as me just being busy. But I think deep down, there was a slight bitterness towards him, because at the time, he wouldn't take care of himself. He pushed himself to work harder at the cost of his health. And I saw some struggles that he was too stubborn to change. And though I deeply love my dad, those issues really challenged me to see him as God's child, someone who received the same grace that I did. I wish things were different. I wish he truly knew how much I loved him and missed him and wanted to see him again. My way of coping after my dad's death affected those around me. Sometimes I would try to move on too quickly, cleaning his things, or trying to make light of the situation, even though it was not appropriate. I unintentionally hurt my family, who were grieving differently than I was. I needed to slow down, and I needed the Lord's help to handle loss correctly. One of the greatest gifts from God has been the preaching of his word through Lighthouse. The preaching here not only encourages me, but also lovingly calls out my sin, helps me see Christ more clearly, behold and treasure him deeply, and shapes me to become more like him. Through this, God has been refining my heart and reminding me of my need for him. Around that time, Lighthouse was starting a generosity initiative. The messages centered on treasuring Christ, but challenged me with questions like, am I content in Christ? Do I trust him above my earthly treasures? It also provided me encouragement, reminding me of great truth, that the worth of knowing Christ is a gain that turns our loss into an opportunity for joy. God, in the midst of my selfishness, even in my rebellion against him, was still showing undeserved grace. He was stripping away the comforts I started to idolize, even good gifts like family, community, and ministry. Through the truth of the gospel, through the love and care of brothers and sisters here at Lighthouse, and through the faithful preaching, God brought conviction and clarity to a troubling and confusing time. I was able to recognize, confess, and repent of my sin with the help of loving brothers, praying on my behalf and supporting my fight for holiness, to remember to delight in the giver above his gifts, and to grieve with hope in Christ. I still miss my dad every day. I listen to songs I know he'd like, play games and watch shows I know he'd enjoy, but hope in Christ says that I'll see him again, free from sin and full of joy. And I'm grateful for the times I had with him, how he demonstrated what faithful service to others looks like, how he showed the love of Jesus through his devotion and commitment to his church. I also came to terms with a deeply humbling truth that I couldn't love my dad perfectly, but Christ did. I couldn't even be a good son, but perfect love, grace, and mercy were still given to him through Jesus. We've been given everything through Christ. He's been so generous to give us these earthly relationships that enrich our lives. But most importantly, he's given us a renewed relationship with himself through Jesus. And like the giving initiative, we give out of the joy in our hearts, out of the trust and faith that Jesus is enough and is better. God's love doesn't stop at our receiving. It reshapes how we live and how we love moving forward. We're called to love others generously, patiently, even at a cost to us, our time, comfort, convenience, or pride. Christ's love is sacrificial. I wish I had sacrificed more of me to love my dad better while I had the chance. I wish we'd been able to do Bible studies together, talk about faith more, and have those conversations that I've been able to have with you. But I'm reminded that God's grace meets me at my regrets and shapes me to love like him moving forward. If I could encourage you, show Christ's love to your loved ones, even when dealing with stubborn or hardened hearts. Steward those relationships with care while you still have them. I'm still learning how to do this in my relationships, and I appreciate prayers as I make a transition into a new stage of life. After college classes and my lease ends in August, I'll be moving back up to Santa Maria to spend time with my family. If you had asked me 2 years ago where I was going to be living by now, I would have said anywhere but there. I wanted to stay down here in Southern California to continue growing with you all. But I also saw this as an amazing opportunity to move back and care for my mom and grandparents, being a helping hand in whatever capacity that's going to look like. Many of you hearing the news of me moving away have actually leaned deeper into our relationship, continuing to walk with me, praying, checking in, and pointing me back to God and his grace. Thank you. I praise God for the love of Christ that dwells in you. Recently, God has continued to remind me through Beacon and Praxis Retreat last week, where we focused on koinonia, true fellowship. I've been very encouraged by the brothers in Praxis Small Group, their wisdom in understanding God's word, and their reflections that challenge the way I pursue loving God and others. I admire their devotion to the Lord and inviting me to their Bible studies before League of Legends, although I have yet to join one of those. I was also encouraged by my brothers in Beacon, who seek deeper accountability in fighting sin, but also who long for meaningful relationship that invites earnest counsel. Moments and friendships like these at Lighthouse push me towards deeper worship of God as I live my life for him. I'm so thankful for you and thankful even more so to God for how he's shown his grace to me through this church. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Alan.
And I'm Barry. When we were first asked to share, we were caught off guard. I wanted to say, no thank you, Pastor Kim, no thank you. There was nothing really remarkable or crazy in our lives recently, but as we started preparing, we grew to appreciate how God's faithfulness isn't always dramatic or obvious. Sometimes faithfulness is quiet and consistent, but that's what makes it so powerful and so precious. I attended Lighthouse during my college years, back when Beacon was just 10 people meeting in a very small church office. Those were formative years for my faith. I was discipled and poured into by so many during the early life of this church. After college and grad school, Alan and I got married. We moved up to the Valley, where he served as a youth and college pastor. A number of years later, we helped with a church plant, and which was joyful, but also really difficult. Reflecting on those years still stirs really deep emotions. It was a season of quiet submission, relentlessly fighting for joy, and waiting on the Lord. We were giving and giving with very little progress, and the loneliness was profound. I struggled with comparison, wondering why churches were flourishing, why ministry was so difficult. I struggled with relying on my own strength to work and to provide financially while we were raising two little ones under the age of three. I often found myself asking, how long, O Lord, how long? While God was gracious to bring sweet fellowship and moments of encouragement those 5 years, we also walked away very tired and confused. Elizabeth Elliot wrote in her book, Suffering is Never for Nothing, the deepest things I have learned in my own life have come from the deepest suffering, and out of the deepest waters and the hottest fires have come the deepest things I know about God. Our season of trials was by far the deepest suffering, but it was through this particular storm that I learned to trust in the Lord. When we came to Lighthouse in 2020, I was cautious and guarded. We were meeting remotely, and I felt safe without needing to be too vulnerable. I thought to myself, if this doesn't work out for our family, it can't be the worst that we have endured. Yet slowly, in his kindness and his grace, God used the unwavering love of this church family and the power of his word to provide healing and respite my heart desperately needed. Christ said in Matthew 11, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The invitation to come to him for the promise of rest is everything I needed.
I first came to Lighthouse when I first came to Christ 23 years ago. The church was just starting, meeting at Torrance High, and I was a college student at UCLA. And as a young believer, I didn't know much, but I did appreciate how much Lighthouse made of God. But after I graduated, I moved home and wasn't sure if I'd ever be back again. Fast forward a decade, I was in vocational ministry, part of a small church plant that we dearly loved. The highs were really high, but the lows were really low. And after 5 years, we made the tough decision to close. Pastor Kim said part of his reservation about church planting was the fear of failure. and that was us. I was burnt out and wounded, done. I wanted to quit ministry, and to be honest, I wanted to quit life. Not that I was serious about taking my life, I just had very little desire for it. My plan was to lay low, find a job, and get by. So I started and finished a coding boot camp. And I was in the late stages of interviewing with a few tech companies when I randomly got an email from a guy named Pastor Kim. He wanted to catch up and see how I was doing. And so we met up and I told him I was doing okay, but done with ministry. And we grabbed lunch a couple of other times after that, but I didn't really think much of it. Later on, Kim sent me another email, but this time Barry was CC'd on it and I knew something was going down. So we meet up for Chinese food, our home turf, and Pastor Kim offers us an internship opportunity at Lighthouse to recover and rest. And he says something to the effect of, it's not what we want from you, it's what we want for you. And I distinctly remember thinking to myself, yeah, right. Yeah. I know this game, it's just pastor talk. He's a dude with the name Kim, he can't be trusted. But eventually our family came anyway, and it changed our lives. Lighthouse, you were a lifeline for my soul. You know, as a pastor, so much of your identity gets wrapped up in what you bring to the table or what you can do in ministry. But this was a season where I really learned, not just with my head, but with my heart, that Jesus does leave the 99 to pursue the one, even if the one is a weak, flawed, and failed church planner. During this time, I remember being introduced to the worship song, Jesus Strong and Kind, and it's more of a children's song. And every night we would sing it as a family before putting the kids to bed, and God used it to minister to me personally. Here's one of the verses and the chorus. Jesus said, if I am weak, he will come to me. And he showed me on that cross, he will come to me. For the Lord is good and faithful. He will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus. Jesus strong and kind. Every night I ended up bawling like a baby because I so needed these truths about God and his faithfulness. And God continued and continues to teach us about his strength and kindness through you, church. Our kids have grown up here surrounded by uncles and aunties who model Christ to them. Some of our closest friends are in this room, and we're humbled to share life with a church family that genuinely cares for us and reminds us of God's truth. And somehow the fool who wanted to quit ministry is now your young adult pastor. God works miracles. We love Lighthouse because you have taught us, encouraged us, pointed us towards Christ, the sufficiency of his grace, the goodness of his plans, the relentless ways he loves. 23 years of quiet, consistent faithfulness. Nothing super dramatic per se, just a timely email, a kid's song filled with rich gospel hope, a church that keeps showing up and showing us Jesus. 23 years of God's faithfulness to me, Barry, and our family. 23 years of God's faithfulness to Lighthouse and County. It's all God, so all glory and praise to him. Thank you.
Thank you, DeBacos. Thank you, Size. Thank you, Ozzy, for showing us the greatness of God. I think it's more than we deserve. Let me pray for us, and then we'll sing together as a church family. Dearly Father, we're so privileged to have that front row seat to your grace, to hear of your goodness and your kindness to brothers and sisters. Lord, on one hand, we hate to hear their suffering, but to see how brightly your light shines in that suffering is is so beautiful, Lord. And so we thank you for your kindness to them. Help us to be a people who share often about your greatness, who meditate on that greatness and tell others about that greatness. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We praise you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.